For the opportunity to speak here. I'm Yinfei Gu from Stanford University. Today I'm going to present a new piece of work collaborated with Xiaoliang Qi and Douglas Stanford on local criticality, diffusion, and chaos in generalized such FE archetype model. So here's the outline. So I will first explain our general motivation and then start with a brief review of such FE archetype model. Then I will turn to our generalized construction to higher dimensions. And in particular, I will focus on a 1 plus 1 dimensional example, which I will refer as a chain model. And I will go through several interesting physical quantities in the model, including local criticality, large and thermodynamics, and the symmetry property, and also the collective modes coming from the OPE, and also energy transport. And in the end, I will talk about chaos in this model. And I will put some general comments and discussion. Okay. So the general motivations. As a condensed matter theorist, I'm always interested in understanding the strongly correlated systems, especially those systems without description of quasi particles. So it will be nice to have a non-trivial and exact solvable model to belong to this category. And the second motivation is coming from the recent development of the intersection between quantum chaos and quantum gravity. So it has been discovered that some interesting quantity that can measure chaos in a strongly correlated system has some nice geometric intuition using the tool of ADS-FT. And those quantities can be computed precisely in the gravity side. So it will also be nice to have a exact solvable microscopic model that you can really study those quantities in the field theory side. And to compare the result, if they really match, it might be an important signature of that this model is actually holographic. So that will be a nice thing. So far, we don't know much. Yeah, actually, so far there's only one example that belongs to the previous set, belongs to the category I just mentioned. That is the such FE archetype model, which I will reveal in a moment. And the structure, nice structure of this model really inspires and motivates us to think about its high dimensional generalization. Yeah, I will present. So what is such FE archetype model? It's basically, it's a simple model of quantum mechanics. It's a quantum mechanics of N Majorana fermions. So you can imagine those fermion sites staying in a single box. And the Hamiltonian is so simple that it contains of all possible four fermion interaction with random coupling, with random coefficient. So it's a all-to-all random interacting model. So the random coefficient satisfied that it has average zero and the variance scale with n in the suitable way in such that the model has a reasonable Lagrangian limit. So this model is interesting. This model is solvable at a larger and interesting at a strong coupling. And this is in fact a model originates from a spin model discovered by such Stephanie Yeh more than 20 years ago. Besides it's less solvable, this model has a few more interesting properties, such as emergent conformal symmetry and extensive zero temperature entropy. And it was also discovered very recently that this model has is relevant to ADS gravity, has some very precise statement about this. Okay, SYK model is nice, but obvious drawback is that this model is non-local and you cannot study the space structure of like chaos or transport or everything that requires the locality. So our generalized model is naturally put a similar interaction on a lattice system. So to be more concrete, let's start with a explicit 1 plus 1 dimensional example. So we have a chain of blocks. Each box contains larger number of fermions. And within the box, they are interacting with the SYK interaction. So it's a random four fermion interaction within a box. And between nearest neighbor blocks, we add also a random four fermion interaction. But here, we restrict to a particular form, we pick two fermion from this box and two fermion from nearest neighbor box and couple them by a random coefficient. And we require this random coefficient to have the same Lagrangian scaling, such that in the Lagrangian limit, they are equally important, basically. And this is an example of a general construction that I will focus on in this talk. So this model is also, I will explain later, but this model is also exhaustible at a Lagrangian and interesting at a strong coupling. So the coupling constant J here is a renormalized, so it's basically effective coupling constant experienced by fermions. Okay, here's the plan for the rest of the talk. I will guide you, go through several simple analysis of the model using the Lagrangian effective action. And having effective action, I will first start with the saddle point, discuss its two-point function and thermodynamics, and then go to the more interesting quantum fluctuations, which includes some discussion about symmetries and also the collective modes coming from the OPE. Over the fermions, and then I will discuss about chaos. So a technical comment here is just the same as zero plus one dimensional SYK. Our model also self-averages. So put it more detailedly. So in general, to study a disorder problem, you need to introduce replicas and do the random average for the replicated partition function. But for this model, in the Lagrangian limit, you will find that the model actually is replica diagonal. The effective action is replica diagonal. So you can just directly start with integration over the disorder averages without introducing the replicas. So this saves our time, actually. And after your random average over these quench disorders, you will find that the previous four fermion coupling term will turn to a coupling between eight fermions, basically eight fermion vertex, which since this is a quench disorder, so it can couple the fermions at a different time in the passing group. So the on-site SYK term under this procedure will give you eight fermion coupling between the fermions within the same site, and the nearest neighbor coupling term will produce some eight fermion coupling between four of them are in the one box, and then another four of them are in the nearest neighbor box. So the next step is quite standard. It just introduces a new field which has a physical minimum Green's function. And to enforce this condition, you need a Lagrangian multiplier. After doing this, the eight fermion vortex will turn to a relatively simpler form, which is the Green's function to the power 4. And then the nearest neighbor coupling becomes a square of Green's function at one side, coupled to square of Green's function at the nearest neighbor side. And then they have a different coupling constant as we define. So upon doing so, you find that the model becomes quadratic. So the fermions basically becomes the effective action only contains quadratic terms for fermions, and you can conveniently integrate over fermions, which end up with a partition function as a passing integral over two new fields we introduce. So the partition function has So the important point here is the partition function will carry a larger n factor in front of the effective action. So that's the main reason why this model is solvable in the larger. Okay, then the effective action becomes quite simple. So it contains one term from the fermion determinant, and it contains another term which is the remnant of the Lagrangian multiplier, and it also contains the interaction term coming from the fermion interaction. So the interaction term has a simple form, is some power of Green's function. Actually, yeah, they have the same total power, so they're homogeneous. Okay, having this larger in front of the effective action, so we understand that this model basically, so in the larger limit, basically controlled, the physics of this model basically controlled by the saddle point. So we can just do the standard thing like saddle point. We can write down saddle point equation by doing the variational principle. Using the variational principle, what we will find is, it's basically a Dyson equation. The Green's function can be written in the frequency space related to the self energy, and in the time domain, the self energy has a simple dependence on the Green's function. So one of the equation is simple in frequency domain, one of the equation is simple in the time domain. So that means putting them together is complicated. To proceed, we can use a symmetry of the model. So we start by introducing the random couplings, but these random couplings averages to some number which doesn't depend on the position. So this model actually have the average transition symmetry. So using this for the saddle point, we can simplify the equation, and in the end, it goes to this two-coupled Dyson equation has and with effective coupling J as defined before. So the nice thing here is this set of equation is that the same as what I've seen in the 0 plus 1 dimensional SYK model. So having this knowledge, so we can directly employ the saddle point solution that's known for the SYK model here. So we know that in a strong coupling limit, the Green's function has a simple analytic form which looks very much like what you get from conformal field theory with operator has skin dimension 1/4. And this tells us one way to see the physical consequence when you take it zero temperature, this means the fermion correlation function actually is power law for the fermions on the same site. So that's a power law correlation for the fermion on the same site. But for the fermion on different site, so since our model is constructed in a special way that it has a Z2 on-site fermion parity symmetry, so the fermion cannot really hop between boxes. So the fermion Green's function between two different boxes is strictly zero in our model. Well, later we'll show a general construction which don't really need this symmetry. But in general models, the fermion correlation function between boxes are suppressed by larger n factors. Because of the Z2 fermion parity symmetry, the only fermion pair can hop in this case. There's no Green's function between the box. And having these two property in mind, we know that fermions can only correlate someone in the time direction with power law and cannot correlate fermions on the different spatial regime. I was informed this two feature was called, gives you a concept called local criticality. Okay, so having the, oh, sorry. So having the saddle point solution, okay.
In general model, if I don't have any this on-site.
Yeah. So they are also. They will be surprised by some power of 1/n. Well, you can also use a symmetry argument there, where you have somehow on average the SON symmetry, so that you can only study those singlet in SON. but it's local SON symmetry on average.
So is this suppression effective on average, or
just? It's suppression on the average. Okay. So everything we discuss here is probably on the average. Yes. For a particular realization, you might have non-trivial correlations. Okay, having the settle point solution, next thing we can do is to study free energy. Well, the free energy is simple just by inserting the settle point solution. This is also the same as what we know for the SYK model at 0 plus 1D. So our model has the same leading free energy term. So in the one-way expansion, this is precisely the same as SYK model. So one consequence we know for that from that is that this model has extensive zero temperature entropy, which is a precise mathematical number. And it has a specific heat, can be computed exactly, and the specific heat is proportional to temperature in this case. So to this stage, all the properties are almost the same as SYK model. And we will see the space, so far we haven't seen the space structure. We will see the space structure at the level of quantum fluctuations. Okay. So having a large unsettled point, it's quite easy to study its quantum fluctuation just by expanding the fields around the settle points. So we can expand the fields around settle points and accordingly expand the effective action to the quadratic order of these fluctuations. So one thing you can do is to first integral over one of the fields and then left over one quadratic form of the fluctuation of Green's function. So the point here is for our 1 plus 1D model and higher dimensional generalization all the same, it has a simple structure for this quadratic form. So it's basically a sum of two separate terms. One of them is the same as in 0 plus 1 dimensional SYK model, which is the temporal part. Another one detects the space locality is the it's basically a matrix has off-diagonal terms. It's, in some sense, it's a tiny bounding matrix. So this term was a delta function in 0 plus 1D, but now it has non-trivial space dependence. So the first term is diagonalizable in a strong coupling limit. This was known back to 2015, and it was explicitly worked out by Manasina Stanford. And so this term is diagonalizable. The second term is also diagonalizable, easily, because it's a simple matrix you can diagonalize by the plane waves. And this tells you it has a band structure for the quantum fluctuations. Okay. Now having this knowledge, at this point we can already exactly solve all the properties we want to know, but I will also discuss about the structure of the fluctuations, which tells you how does these fluctuations look like and how to understand them physically. So quantum fluctuation controls, so this quadratic form controls quantum fluctuations, and you will find that in a strong coupling limit, the quantum fluctuation has a simple structure. So most of the fluctuations are weak. They are suppressed by some large mass, or in some sense, they were living in a very deep potential well. There's one particular subclass of fluctuations that is very strong and dominates the physics in this model. And this subclass of fluctuations is related to the symmetry of the model. So the symmetry can be traced back to the Dyson equation. So the Dyson equation for the settle point, if you take the IR limit, you can just ignore the I omega term, which is basically zero at a long frequency, at a long time limit. And then you'll find this set of equation has a emergent conformal symmetry. So this is the conformal symmetry in 0 plus 1D. So this is a conformal symmetry for the times. So, more concretely, More concretely, you can reparameterize your time and get get a transformation for the Green's function accordingly under this formula. Well, and you will find that this symmetry generates a new solution which also solved Dyson equation. This is in other words, so the effective action is invariant. So it's, if you ignore this, I omega 10 is invariant under this reparameterization of time. And well, the symmetry is not there for the solution, because the explicit solution, well, the way we pick up the solution will spontaneously break this diffeomorphism to its subgroup, which is basically the Mobius transformation. A simple example is at zero temperature, the Green's function is power law, and if you do the do this reparameterization for a special type of then, which is basically the Mobius transformation, you will find that the solution is invariant. So this group is the actual symmetry group for the solutions. So you find this is a symmetry breaking pattern from diffeomorphism group to the Mobius group. So, but one comment here is this symmetry is not exact. It's only emergent and approximate at IR, because we ignore the I omega 10. The true model, the UV part, will break the symmetry explicitly, and this will cause a new effect. So previously, if we have exact symmetry and symmetry breaking from spontaneous symmetry breaking from this diffeomorphism to the Mobius, so we will get a lot of Goldenstone mode. In this case, it's actually infinite many Goldenstone mode, because this group is infinite dimensional. But now the UV part slightly breaks the symmetry, which will turn this Goldenstone mode to so-called pseudo Goldenstone mode. So what you get is not a bunch of zero mode or some Goldenstone mode. You get a nearly flat directions. So this is basically you slightly tune the Mexican head for the spontaneous symmetry breaking picture. And we know that these pseudo Goldenstone modes can be characterized by the coset of the symmetry of the model and the symmetry of the solution. One should notice this is an infinite dimensional space. And we just put an analogy. So this is very much similar to what we know for the spin chain. If we have a ferromagnetic spin chain, and the model has a global SU2 symmetry, and it breaks to U1 symmetry by spontaneous symmetry breaking. And this spontaneous breaking is problematic in a sense that the Goldenstone mode will cause some divergence. But you can lift the Goldenstone mode by applying a small pinning field. To compare with the case here, the small pinning field in this model is the UV part, which is suppressed by 1 over beta j. Beta j is the coupling constant. We are interested in a strong coupling limit. Okay. So you have a bunch of, well, soft modes, and you can even write down effective action for these soft modes. The way to write down them is, it's quite standard. You linearize your reparameterization and just expand the effective action to the quadratic order of the linearized modes. So you will get basically you get two terms. So one of them doesn't depend on momentum, which comes from explicit breaking. Well, this term also appears in the 0 plus 1 DSYK model, and it actually produced the so-called Schwarzian effect, Schwarzian derivative as an effective action for the gravity side. And it has an extra term coming from the kinetic term of this Goldenstone mode. It basically tells you these modes are quadratically dispersed, roughly speaking. So this effective action for the pseudo Goldenstone mode, it determines the strongest, so the strong fluctuations around set of points. And therefore, it determines the most important feature, most important physics of this model, and which is energy diffusion and the leading contribution to the chaos I will discuss later. Okay, so this is the symmetry of the model. Now, having this understanding of the quantum fluctuations, we can start to study the four-point functions, the model. So the one point is this connective. You can turn the calculation of the quantum fluctuation to the connective part of four-point function. The connective part of four-point function is basically the connective part of the two-point function of Green's function. That's basically the quantum fluctuations. So this quantity can be computed exactly by just inverting the quadratic form. In this, as I mentioned, at the Strong-Compton limits, this is doable, and we can compute that precisely. And I will explain two physical consequences for the calculation of the four-point function later. So they correspond to two different regimes of the four-point function. One is called an OPE regime, which two of the fermions are close in. So the two of the fermions having with the same index and the spatial index are closed in the imaginary time. And another two are closed in imaginary time. That means, so all the calculation here is done in the imaginary time order. So that means this part of physics can be basically understood by you first do the OPE for the fermions, then you study the collective modes in the model. And there's another interesting regime, which is so-called out-of-time order correlation function, which in the imaginary time formalism, you just put them alternately in the imaginary time axis, such that the imaginary time order operator give you alternating time order. And then if you analytically continue two of them to the larger real time, you will get some function that can characterize chaos. I will explain the detail about this later. So let's first start with the OPE regime. So the OPE regime is simple. It has a simple picture. So as I mentioned before, just 1 minute ago, the OPE of So the four-point function can be understood as the two-point function of the collective modes. On doing this, we found that previously I explained that there are two types of quantum fluctuation. One is soft, and one is very weak. So the leading contribution from those symmetry, from this reparametrization symmetry, gives you the energy momentum tensor in the OPE. So then, after computation, you will find that the energy momentum tensor has a diffusive pole in the propagator. So this diffusive pole can determines a diffusion constant in model, which we can compute exactly. So one point about this diffusion constant is that it is independent of temperature. Okay, I will also come back to this later. So we can also explicitly study those not so important fluctuations. They will contribute. They are the subleading contribution to the four-point function, and you will have infinite many of them. So there are infinite many of collecting modes, and they actually stay within several lattice constants. So they don't really propagate. So they are localized collecting modes. So this infinite family of collecting modes corresponds to so-called low tension strings in the 0+1 dimensional SYK model. And these collecting modes are responsible to the corrections of the chaos exponent I will explain later. Okay. So that's the spectrum of the collecting modes in the model. So next thing I will discuss is the chaos regime. So the chaos regime refers to a special time ordered correlation function, which is called out of time ordered correlation function. So this type of correlation function is claimed to be responsible to diagnose the chaos in a many-body system. I will first briefly explain why. So what's the reason of this? And then I will show the result in our model. So the most familiar phenomenon of chaos is some intuition from the classical dynamics, where we have some classical particles, and if they have a very small different initial condition, it might cause a large deviation of the trajectory on the time evolution. And this phenomenon can be well characterized by a Poisson bracket of the general coordinates and its conjugate momentum. So this Poisson bracket is basically partial Q of T, partial Q of zero. That's the dependence of the final position on the initial condition. So for a chaotic system, it behaves typically exponentially as an exponential function of time. From this exponential behavior, you can extract an exponent, which is referred as a Lyapunov exponent in classical chaos. So it's natural to guess a quantum generalization of this just by replacing the Poisson bracket by the quantum commutator. And here is a single particle operator stuff. So you can further replace a single particle operator by some generic Heisenberg operator in a many-body system. So that's a natural generalization to a quantum mechanical system. And it turns out this works pretty good in some systems. So here you get a quantum operator. You want to know the size of it. A convenient thing to do is to take its operator 2 norm. But so we can do one more thing, is to take an operator 2 norm on a thermal ensemble. Let's basically take trace of the commutator squared and take and trace together with a thermal density matrix. So in some sense, we define a finite temperature version of the chaos, the trajectory deviation. So you can also write it as a commutator square evaluated at the finite temperature. Okay, so this function can be computed in some model due to gravity, and it can also be computed in an SYK model. So what has been found is this function grows exponentially as we expect for a chaotic system, for a chaotic system from the intuition of classical chaos. So it has two important physical consequences. So the growth function initiates at around the thermal time scale, and it grows exponentially with an exponent that was defined as quantum version of Lyapunov exponent. Another important feature of this is there's a time scale at which this curve saturates, which means that basically the system has been fully scrambled, or in other sense, the system has totally forgot about its initial condition. That's this time scale of memory of the system, of a strongly correlated system. So from this interpretation, we know that this Lyapunov exponent actually measures how fast the chaos develops. So very recently, there's a pretty rigorous proof of a quantum bound for this Lyapunov exponent by Madasina, Shank, and Stanford. The proof in a generic quantum mechanical system, the chaos cannot develop faster than this exponent. So this exponent was saturated by SYK model, and as well as those strongly correlated systems can have a Einstein gravity due. So in some sense, SYK model belongs to the same universality class as a black hole. And okay. So previous definition is all works for the quantum mechanics. You don't see locality here. For with the quantum field theory that has a spatial locality, you have an extra bonus. So you can study not only how the chaos develops, you can also see how the chaos propagates. That means you can define a quantum commutator, so a commutator square, by of two operators at different spatial location. So you can perturb the system at a far away point and check how does that affect your local system. So the generic expectation is that there's an extra delay of the scrambling time. So So the far away perturbation cannot immediately affect you, but it will receive extra delay. And if the extra delay has a linear, is proportional to the space separation, we can then extract a effective velocity of the chaos propagation, which was defined as butterfly velocity. And yeah, this has a cartoon for that picture. You perturb the system and wait for a while, so then the system on that side will be totally scrambled. But away from the system, you need extra time. And this green area is basically the scrambled area. So the butterfly velocity here has the meaning of speed of the chaos propagation. This cannot be studied in a 0 plus 1D SYK model because of the lack of locality, but it can be studied in our generalized version. So far I have all discussed about the commutator square. How does it relate to the out of time or the correlation function I just mentioned? So, well, it's quite straightforward. If you expand this commutator square, you will end up with four terms. Two of them look similar, and they have this single Cavendish Schrödinger contour. And they will be called accessible correlators, and they don't grow. They don't grow exponentially with time. And then the other two non-trivial ones, the out of time order I just mentioned before, it has time order 0t, 0t. In the picture, it has a double Cavendish Schrödinger contour. So to understand the chaos of the model, we just need to look at its out of time order correlation function. So that the out of time order correlation function contributes to non-trivial exponential growth. So we can study this explicitly in our model by looking at two pair of Majorana fermions defined on a different spatial location. One is x, one is 0. And we compute their connected piece. And we compute the ratio of connected piece over the disconnected piece. In our 1 plus 1 dimensional chain model, we found exactly it has some coefficient, and it has an exponential growth with 2 pi of beta, and it has an exponential decay in the space by which you can extract a butterfly velocity. So one technical comment here is, so this is the Lyapunov exponent. In a 0 plus 1 dimensional SYK model, it receives some correction at order 1 beta j. At finite coupling, this won't be 2 pi beta, it will be a little bit smaller than that. But in our model, you will see that you don't have 1 beta j correction. 1 beta j, at 1 beta j order, it cancels. Well, this is basically because of the collecting modes I just mentioned before. So there are two sets of collecting modes. One is relevant, so one is coming from symmetry and B identifies some effect from gravity. And another one is coming from some stringy modes. The stringy modes in the SYK, in the 0 plus 1D model, it will affect the Lyapunov exponent. It actually decreases the Lyapunov exponent from its maximum value a little bit. But in our model, since we have the spatial structure and we discover these modes are localized, so they won't affect the physics far away from the perturbation. So that's why at a linear order 1 beta j, there's no correction. So the correction basically cancels, technically speaking. This is the one important one.
So if I look at this four-point function, it's a very special dependence on t and x.
Yes.
Right. So
I mean this.
When do you normally expect this type of behavior?
Oh, you mean when should I expect that the Lyapunov exponent like this?
Or just exponential of t minus.
Exponential of t minus.
When do you expect to have a well-defined velocity?
I see. Yeah, in general, we don't know, but for a chaotic system, we expect exponentially growth with the time. And for the spatial part, I don't know for a generic case, but somehow people believe the chaos or the somehow information propagates ballistically, then you get a such kind of
But let's say I take, you know, 5 to the 4th theory in 4 dimensions and evaluate this in a particular.
Well, I think you won't get the exponential growth in time. I'm not sure. So, people have computed this in a weak coupling theory. They found that somehow the exponential growth is very, very weak. So the, somehow the growth is so weak that you cannot really distinguish any physics. I'm not sure.
Since you asked a question. So beta is temperature, right? So I should assume that you put a system, so there is some thermal mass, right?
Yeah.
So is that how universal is this statement? So does it depend how exactly my system coupled to a thermal mass? So what's there must be some additional assumption. Because you're working in a ensemble, right? In some sense.
If you keep
temperature fixed. Right?
Yeah, we keep the temperature fixed. So I don't think the calculation here depends on the explicit realization of how does it communicate with environments.
In statistical mechanics, usually canonical and microcanonical ensembles are equivalent if they couple into the external path.
So
if you have all-to-all interactions, it's far from clear that canonical and microcanonical are equivalent.
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry.
Question?
Yeah.
Do you know how that VB, the scrambling velocity compares, or butterfly velocity compares. If you didn't look at out-of-order correlation function, but just a two-point function at large separation, and how does there is this Lee Robinson?
How
does VB compare to that?
Good question. So Lee Robinson velocity is defined on infinite temperature system. So it's basically operator norm argument. So that depends on temperature. So Lee Robinson velocity computes some similar quantity, but not use the operator 2 norm, but use some different norm, and they don't define temperature there. That has been discussed in some paper by Brian Swengel and Roberts, Dan Roberts. They're trying to put this definition of butterfly velocity as put this butterfly velocity as a finite temperature definition of Lee Robinson velocity.
Instead of infinite temperature, is that?
Instead of infinite temperature. What depends? Sorry. Okay. Okay. So by this calculation, we can extract out the butterfly velocity precisely in terms of this coupling constant. So you might notice this is quite familiar. It has some familiar looking. Go back to several slides before. So in the diffusion constant, you see some similar form. Okay, indeed, that's my next point. There's an interesting relation to diffusion for this system. So the butterfly velocity squared is equal to 2 pi temperature times diffusion constant. This is something quite unusual because these two parts are. These two parts are coming from different regions of four-point function. One is coming from the physics of chaos. One is from the physics of collective modes. Well, they might be connected because of as we discussed before, the quantum fluctuation is actually dominated by one single class coming from symmetries. So this is some remarkable thing we discovered in this model. This calculation is actually agree with the holographic calculation on the background of so-called incoherent black hole. Mike Blake basically found a similar relation like this. And it's also relevant to the proposal by Sean Hutchnell about incoherent metals. Okay,
And the 2 pi is the same? If it is just for conformal series, then this is just dimensionality.
Yeah, that's right. But 2 pi is, I mean, The calculation there is, so okay, in his paper, he used approximate 2 pi t.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also 2 pi. I'm not sure how
Yeah, that's
accurate.
What I thought. I thought that they could not establish rigorously the proportionality coefficient.
Yeah, sure. So
what's, is there some deeper meaning in this equation?
Yeah, that's a good question. So in this model, deeper meaning of this is that the two part of physics are controlled by the same family of the collective modes. That's coming from the symmetry of the model. So that's why you will see this in our model. It might be a hint of some theory is holographic. It's in the holographic theory, in some sense, there are important class of fluctuation coming from gravitational fields that controls all different sorts of physics. But that's some speculation. We don't have a very precise understanding of this. Okay.
So what was the relation to incoherent metals?
Incoherent metal, they proposed that the characteristic velocity in the system incoherent metal is some metal without quasi-particle, and in that case, the velocity square should be proportional to the temperature times diffusion constant. But they don't have a precise constant in that argument. That's an argument quite general. Just a hint that this model as a condensed matter model might correspond to those metals, incoherent metals. Okay. And compared with the holographic calculation of butterfly velocity, you will see that this result is from this paper and by comparison these two, we found that the dynamical exponent is of this model is 2. This is quite consistent with what you expect from the diffusion. If the diffusion is a constant independent of time, you get some z equal 2 by dimension counting. Okay. That's the discussion of chain model. So I will put a general discussion on the most general construction we can make. So our model can be well defined on an arbitrary lattice, actually arbitrary graph. The Hamiltonian is very much similar. It's a random four fermion coupling, and you can pick up arbitrary four fermion from different sides. So previously, this each dot is a box. So you can pick up four different fermions coming from four different boxes and couple them by a random coefficient. And this model is also exact solvable at large n. You need to constrain your random coefficients to have the same large n scaling, such that none of them are extremely important or can be negligible. Okay, so this model, this general model, you can put a locality to the definition of this function. So as long as this function is some local function of the coordinates, this model is local. Well, you just forbid those very rare event that you couple different fermions at far away sites. Then you get a local model. And you can also study all the properties I explained for the chain model. We found this also has emergent conformal symmetry at strong coupling, local criticality, and all sorts of these things. And the maximal chaos has a Lyapunov exponent 2 pi over beta precisely, just as in the chain model. For the high dimensions, you can define butterfly velocity and the diffusion constant for different directions. And you find that they all satisfy this relation. Well, you can also discuss further generalization by inputting some extra global symmetries, just as there's a complex fermion version of SYK model in the 0 plus 1D. You can also do this for our model. You can generalize to like U1, SON, whatever. Okay, sorry. So that's very much what I want to say about our model. And here's a brief summary and some discussion. So I present a generalized construction of such a Fia-Kitai model at higher dimension with locality. So by generalizing to high dimension with locality, we can not only study the properties that are known in the SYK model, but also some real space properties like energy diffusion and butterfly velocity, such kind of thing. And Yeah, we found that interesting relation between the diffusion and the butterfly velocity like this. So then question is, so we have an XSO model for strongly correlated system. How does this relate to the real condensed matter systems? Does this model provide a new platform to study those properties in a generic strongly correlated system? Well, this model is that solvable, so we can study those properties exactly. Another question is, so far we only see some hints that our model might be holographic, but we don't know at present that whether our model is indeed holographic, like what's the precise holographic view of our model. So the relation suggests it might be due to a so-called incoherent black hole. And another feature is that these two quantities are related because in our model they are contributed from the single family of collecting modes. Is this collecting modes due to the gravitational fields in the holographic view? Yeah, we don't know. So that's the end of the talk. Thanks.
In the zero plus one dimensional case, it is known that the limit temperature to zero and n to infinity, those two limits do not commute, or at least it's believed so.
What? Sorry, say it again?
In zero plus one dimensional case, yes, just yes. A single site SPK
yes.
model,
yes.
It's thought that temperature to zero and n to infinity do not commute.
Yeah.
So what is the situation? Is that still true here? Or?
It's still true here. Oh, well, we need to put larger first. Because we want to study the model controlled by a set of points. So the technical condition at n much bigger than beta j is a condition that this model can be solved without worrying about the quantum worrying too much about the quantum fluctuations. So if you take zero temperature limit first, this analysis fails. So you cannot use the settle point. The quantum fluctuation is so strong that cannot. It's somehow okay. Let me show you. So remember, there's a large n there, and there's a beta j.
Yes.
So
but
if
you have the second term though.
What?
The second term doesn't help you.
Doesn't help. It's a good question. So in the usual condensed matter case, like spin chain, if you're in high dimension, the big number mean type of argument tells you that at high enough dimension it's stable. But in this case, it's kind of different. So one important difference is in the usual case, you only have finite many Goldenstone modes. In our case, in our case, this spontaneous image breaking provides infinite many Goldenstone modes. It's a much stronger divergence than the usual spin chain.
Did you equate those infinitely many modes with the gravitational field, or you kind of said something like that, right?
In the zero plus one dimensional case,
yeah.
We know that those reparametrization fields correspond to the ADS2 dilaton gravity.
Mm-hmm.
In our case, we don't know, but we speculate that. We don't know what's the precise statement that's possible.
Okay. But do you see higher dimensional conformal symmetry?
No. This is still a symmetry for the time.
It's circle. The
time. Yeah.
Very
only.
Small.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know.
So the fact that you have diffusion here, is it surprising or is it obvious?
Oh, it's not surprising because our model is, so the microscopic model before averaging is disordered. So this model only have average transition symmetry. So you will expect diffusive behavior for these modes, typically. If you have a true transinvariant system, you might expect some propagation, whatever, but in this case, not. We don't see that at all. OK.
Any further questions? OK, now let's interrogate.